Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, let me see. Who is it? Marion, how are you doing, Marion? Are you all right?
I'm very good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Now, I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about, but I think you probably know, because it was the moment that a lot of this week, Donald Trump, what the hell happened? I mean, like, basically, there's something happening every week with Donald Trump, and yet he seems to be the Teflon Don. He's getting away with it all. So, like, you know, what happens this time around? Do you think this latest one, the man with the tendency to evade consequences, will maybe unravel him or his family or whatever?
Do you know what, Dave? I actually don't know, because so many times people have said he can't get out of this one, he can't get out of this one. Let me just tell the listeners what he's gotten out of. So far in his career, like since he became a mogul and, you know, inverted commas there, and a billionaire, even more inverted commas, he's been involved in more than 4,000 state and federal cases involving personal injury, contract disputes, fraud disputes, tax disputes. He's been the subject of half a dozen criminal probes. This is just now at the moment. 24 claims of sexual misconduct, which came up, of course, after he declared he was becoming president. He's been 4 bankruptcies, at least 3 or 4 congressional investigations, which I think that's the number that are ongoing. And don't forget the 2 impeachments, the special counsel investigation that sent half a dozen of his close associates and campaign people, as campaign manager, and other people to prison. And he's at the moment dealing with, I counted just before I came in there, 17 or 18 different civil and criminal investigations. But you know what? He did say, as we all know, when he was running for president, he did say, I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue, yeah, and I wouldn't lose a single supporter. And you know what?
If
he's ever said a single true thing, disregard the 30,000 lies he told while he was president.
Yeah.
That was one absolute truth. So I think the ones that might get him, okay, Fannie Willis let's go through. Okay, New York Attorney General Letitia James, she came out last week with a whopper, 222 pages. I've only literally finished reading the darn thing. And I mean, it seems that it was just crookery all the way through, yeah, according to her. And she said, you know, it was basically what Michael Cohen said, his former fixer and lawyer who went to prison, of course, for 3 years for his involvement in the payoff to Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen said what he did all along was, if he wanted to get a bank loan, he'd say his buildings were worth a fortune, because then he would have collateral,
yeah,
and the bank would give him a cheaper rate, etc., etc. You know, pretty basic stuff.
Okay, that's one side, but then he wants to do his taxes, yeah, and what does he say? The buildings are worth nothing.
Yeah, and he shrinks it, and he goes, that's worth nothing.
Okay, hold on. Here's the bit I don't get, right? Okay, it was like when Bear Stearns and all the rest of it, you know, a little bit of due diligence, just a 5-minute check. Like, yeah, why would the banks, yeah, give him loads of money simply because he says my buildings are worth an awful lot? Can we have a look at the books and we'll decide in an hour? Like, does nobody do anything that, yeah, should be done?
Well, you see, this is part of the problem, isn't it? He had an accountancy firm, Mazars, who about a year ago, they literally broke up with him in public. They dumped him. They said, we're not his accountant anymore. Can't trust him. Can't believe a word that comes out of his mind or his mouth. And then they said, and by the way, the last 10 years of accounts we did for him, don't believe any of them.
Yeah.
Because he was lying. And, you know, and that seems to be the way New York business seems to work, that people wanted to believe the pomp and the blast and the whole publicity. Oh, they talked Donald Trump.
Hold on a second. See, there you go. People. People, it's all, yeah, very well, people me walking along the street or something. But I'm talking about,
exactly,
the people who are supposed to be checking this stuff out, because they're the ones lending money from the banks, which don't all belong to them. I just don't understand how these, yeah, kind of things can continue to happen. Like Letitia James, yeah, she said it this week, the Attorney General.
Yeah.
She said, like, claiming that you have money that you don't have. And she got the quotable line in that'll be everywhere, where she says it doesn't amount to the art of the deal, it's the art of the steal, is the way she put it. And,
yeah,
every piece of evidence,
yeah,
points to that.
Okay, you know what I'm going to say, and I am not now advertising.
Shut up, Dave.
Donald Trump's ex-lawyer. I'm going to say, okay, Donald, if you're listening, I've got a great defence for you. How do you think the property market crashed back in 2008? Because people were claiming they had money, yeah, to pay back loans that they didn't actually have. The banks didn't check. You know, you could go into a bank probably anywhere in the world, you know, up to 2008 and say, listen, I want to buy, like, all the Irish people who were buying holiday apartments in Croatia and all those other places. How did all those things happen? So banks are greedy. That's the bottom line. Banks are greedy. And Donald Trump knows how to exploit people's weaknesses better than anyone. And they looked and they went, that fellow's got a big apartment on Fifth Avenue, he's got a yacht, he's got a place in Florida, he's minted. And so they were seduced because they didn't do the due diligence. And that is what Donald Trump said. He basically said to them, if you're stupid enough to loan me money, have at it. Knock yourselves out. Right. But they did not have to loan him the money. And he's also saying now, no harm, no foul, Letitia James, those people got their money back. They got their interest. They got their money. They're happy. So what are you whining about? And that's his other defence, and that I don't think this is going to do him too much damage at all, quite honestly. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen here. He is going to settle. He's going to settle with her, and it's not going to cost him, should he want to run for president in 24, it's not going to cost him a vote, because everyone knows that's how the banks work, and everyone knows that's how the system works. And he's going to say, they could have refused me, they could have checked, they didn't bother. And he's going to say, that apartment that was worth 750 grand, that I thought was worth 50 million, nobody said it wasn't worth 50 million, you know. So basically, on that, I think he's pretty much in the theory. He's already offered to settle quietly. She didn't take his offer. What will happen there is he will move the Trump Organization down to Florida, down to Palm Beach or Miami, or somewhere where they're much more friendly to people like Donald Trump. And he'll say, right, that's it. A bit like the NRA, which was based in New York, let's not forget, before Letitia James got her hooks into them. And now they've moved to Texas. So I think that as part of the settlement, he'll just up sticks, because she's not going to let him work in New York anymore anyway. Basically, she wants to bar the Trumps. She wants to kick them out of New York. Well, they're kind of one step ahead of her, because they've all gone to Florida anyway. So I think in that he's going to be okay. I think he's got bigger legal problems than that one, to be quite honest.
Absolutely. Well, then what about, like, you know, the padded rooms cells and all the rest of it? Because, like, this week he was talking about declassifying stuff. Hold on a second, about the stuff in Mar-a-Lago that was taken by the FBI. And he says, just by thinking about it, I can declassify it. Like, it's kind of Star Wars. He's got a Jedi mind.
He's, you know, he is. He's a magician. I think that is the ultimate in magical thinking. It's like, I have now thought that you're declassified. It's like a kid. You know, when you're a kid, you'd go, abracadabra, I turn you into a frog.
No, it's like I dream of genie, and you just kind of move your nose, and it just happens.
You twitch your nose, and there you go. I mean, this is nonsense. Look, I spoke to several people who work in national security and the FBI about this, and this was weeks ago. They said to me, do you have any idea of the process that is involved in declassifying a single document, especially anything to do with national security? No president can just say it's declassified. It has to go through, like one of the women I spoke to said, it takes months. It takes months, and there's a paper trail, and there's an electronic trail, and there's all kinds of trails. And they were laughing at the good of this, that you could actually, anyone would believe you could do this, because everybody knows that declassifying documents is a nightmarish red tape process all of its own. So, and even, you know what, it doesn't, because if you accept that he declassified them, you have to ask, why would he? Why would he declassify another country's nuclear secrets? Where would be, you know, he already got himself into trouble with Israel when he invited the Russians into the Oval Office. He already got himself into trouble for a number of other things. You cannot compromise, because all of these countries rely on mutual trust. It's like the Five Eyes, all of them. If they think that you've gone wacko and you've gone rogue, they're not going to share intel with you. And none of these intel people work in a vacuum. They all rely on each other to pool their resources up to a point. So it's all utter nonsense. Now, I think on this one, again, I spoke to a chap down in Texas, a legal chap, about this, a professor. He says it's actually harder. Okay, he didn't testify anything. That's barking mad nonsense. But he said it will, like, proving that case, because he can say, well, I didn't realize that these people put that in the box, and I don't pack up my own stuff. I'm the president, goddammit, you know, and they screwed up, not me. But what he will be in much stickier wicket on is the obstruction part, because the, you know, there was an 18-month toing and froing between the archives, the justice, the FBI, and all these people. They went up and down to Mar-a-Lago. He gave them some stuff, and then they said, is that all you've got? And he said, yes. And they said, can you get your people to make sure? And he said, yes, I did. They said, there's nothing else. And then there was a subpoena, and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. We've nothing else. And then they signed a legal document, two of his lawyers, saying there is nothing else in Mar-a-Lago classified. They did that like only a couple of months ago. So that looks like obstruction.
Okay,
because any president would at that point say, scour the place.
Okay,
you know,
well,
and it all turns up in his office.
When you mention, the Attorney General, Letitia James, and this week, and her office filed a civil suit against him, she also filed a civil suit and said, like you said, you've read the 180 pages or whatever, that at the very beginning she mentions the three...
222.
Sorry, I didn't even know. Was that, okay. Like,
yeah, don't forget about the last 50.
Right, exactly. So, like, I mean, but, you know, that she also mentioned the three eldest children as well. Now, they can't all be as Teflon as Don. I mean, like, for instance, what about Alan Weisselberg, who pleaded guilty to 15 felonies last month, and he's the chief financial officer? The minute they're accused of something, they all cower. So will the kids cower as well?
Well, you know, they're a bit Teflon-y. Back in, I think it was the late 90s, or maybe the early 2000s, Cyrus Vance, who was then the district attorney for Manhattan, went after Ivanka and Don Jr. because they were trying to sell apartments in this building they had in Soho. They weren't shifting for lover money. And they were saying, oh, you know, George Clooney's bought 6 and Bill Gates has bought 10. And, oh, my God, you better hurry up because there's only one left. And it turned out that it was decided they were using fraudulent means to shift units. So he investigated them criminally and then he dropped it because he said, and it was because of the stink of publicity, which was why he went back after them a couple of years ago and went to the Supreme Court and back again 3 times because people were saying, you went soft in those Trumps and now look at them. And of course, then he resigned and now you have Alvin Bragg who has shelved not that criminal investigation. There are so many investigations going on, but I will say about Letitia James, she said she's also referring her report, this big 222-page thing, to the Inland Revenue. That could be pretty unpleasant for Donald Trump, and also to the federal criminal people, to the Department of Justice, because just because the state and the Manhattan DA didn't bring criminal charges within the state, it doesn't mean there can't be federal criminal charges brought. So he's not off the hook there. But again, it's hard to prove, Dave, because Trump famously never used email. He wrote things on post-its and he stuck them there with that, or else he barked it across a room or he barked it down a phone. You need a paper trail for white-collar crime, and he very cleverly, whether accidentally or not, did not have one. Also, you need witnesses who will say, yes, I was in the room when he said that. I heard it. If there is no paper trail, nobody within the organization will testify against him. Alan Weisselberg is going to go to prison for about 15 months now because he won't turn on Donald Trump. But he is going to be testifying against the Trump organization on October 24th. There's a trial coming up there for tax evasion. But he's saying it was the $1.5 million he got by getting payments in dodgy ways to pay for his kids' school fees, his grandkids and all that. But he's not in any way naming Trump in that. So Trump is in the clear on that one so far. The one, and it's not a criminal trial. There are two. What the criminal trial that I think he could be in trouble in is the one that's not getting a lot of attention in Georgia. Fannie Willis is the district attorney for Fulton County. Now, this is the one where Donald Trump
phone call is on tape and has been played everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been played where he basically said...
And your man led him on.
You know what? Trump let himself on because wouldn't get off the bloody phone until he got yes for an answer. And he didn't get yes for an answer, so he kept beating him up for an hour on the phone and the whole thing was recorded. So now Trump said, just to be clear on this, Joe Biden had won Georgia, the state of Georgia, very surprisingly, by 11,799 votes. And what Trump was saying to Raffensperger is, just find me 11,800 votes. So it was completely clear what he was telling him to do. Now, that is interfering with the state election and coercing a state election official. There's a 3-year prison sentence for that. Now, she has got Fannie Willis, who's a pretty tough lady. She has gone hardball after Rudy Giuliani. He was forced to testify down there, did everything he could not, including saying, oh, I had a medical procedure. Oh, God, no, don't send me there, etc., etc. Lindsey Graham is trying to wriggle out of it as well, as if he made a similar call where he said to Raffensperger, kind of, do you have to count all those mail-in votes? Come on, you don't really. But this is tampering with an election. This is a criminal offence. So anyway, I think that's where Trump could be in trouble. But I also think Trump was accused after he declared his candidacy for president. He was accused by 2 dozen women of things ranging from sexual harassment to unwanted touching.
But there is a new state law in New York now which allows victims of sexual assault a one-time opportunity to file new civil lawsuits after the statute of limitations of the case. And I would have thought that she would have said, after the grueling she got a year or two ago, saying, this isn't worth it. She's going to go for it.
Oh, no, she's going for it, and she's still going for the defamation action, which is still proceeding and is scheduled to start on February 6th next year. So what's happening now is they introduced this law for adult survivors. And basically, as you said exactly, it means that if somebody raped you or sexually assaulted you or harassed you 30 years ago, you know, the statute for a civil suit, the statute has long closed, and the criminal statute of limitations also. But now they're saying you've got a year. Okay, if you want to get your case in, you've got a year. This is going to cause, I predict, legal chaos in New York, but I think it is really, in principle, a good idea. So she can now, she was having to limit herself to bringing a defamation lawsuit because she claimed that Trump had raped her, a really horrible case and horrible claims in a dressing room in Bergdorf Goodman, New York. He said, you're a liar, you're doing that to sell your book. She said, right, you've defamed me because I'm telling the truth. And that was the case she was bringing. But now she can bring an additional case. She can sue him for sexual battery and for intentionally inflicting emotional distress. And she's filing that case. That law comes into effect on the 24th of November. Yeah. Her lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, said, we are going to be in there that morning.
Exactly.
We're filing
law.
That case.
So listen, hold on, Marion. Yeah. So Trump, will he be keen to get back into the White House for the sort of insulation it might give him from prosecution? Is it looking likely that we'll see him back in 2024? Because it could be a very good move to keep all these people at bay.
Oh, it's the only way to stall the ball on a lot of those legal things would be if he becomes president again, and they follow that policy where you can't indict a president and you can't, you know, criminally or basically go after a president. But I don't know if you know, it's still 2 years plus away to the 2024 election. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to have that much time. Certainly in the E. Jean Carroll case, it looks like that might be dealt with at the same time as the defamation case, which means, you know what, it's you know, he may say, and I don't want to sound glib here, Dave, he may say, I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue and get away with it. But if a jury finds that he raped a woman in a department store in Fifth Avenue, I think that that's much more damaging, not just financially. Now, there will be his base. There will be people. Look, when Judge Roy, whatever his name was, Jones, down in Alabama, was trying to become senator, I went down there, and it was women who mostly said to me about him going after 12-year-old girls and grooming them and sexually harassing them. They said, so what? So what? You know, they really... But I think for people who are not Trump diehard fans, this is a bit... This is not good. This is not good. But also, I really think... Now, there's a lot of talk in America at the moment that, look, and there's a bit of truth in it where they say, look, Trump has all this baggage. He's going to be paying out millions if he goes back as president. There's going to be another case and another. We're better off to dump him and just take Ron DeSantis, who without the baggage.
No, it's Trump with the brain.
People have
it's
never
frightening.
Seen him speak.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis is equally as crazy. Yeah. Listen, Marion, we have to go.
No charisma.
It's time to go.
So that's the difference.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Marion McKeown is journalist and broadcaster and U.S. correspondent for The Business Post. Marion McKeown. Marion, thank you so much indeed. Good luck. Take it easy.
All the best.
Always good to
pleasure.
Talk to you, Marion. Thank
now.
You very much indeed.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.